On the line with me, Roger McGuinn, coming to the Ridgefield Playhouse tomorrow night, a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. It's not every day I get to talk to a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer.
Well, it's a real honor to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame since 1991. The original Birds got back together for the first time in many years, and it was really something.
And that would prove to be the last time, unfortunately. Is that correct?
Yes, unfortunately, a couple of them passed away within a year after that.
Your career, beyond the Birds, you got your start in an unusual way. Miles Davis helped you get your start.
Yeah, it's very unlikely that Miles Davis would have anything to do with the rock and roll band, but yeah, that was the case. His agent was somebody who was a friend of our manager's, and so we auditioned for the agent, and Miles heard about it and called up Columbia Records and got the deal.
And then how did you go from being Jim McGuinn to Roger McGuinn?
Well, during the 60s, I experimented with a lot of things. And one of them was this Eastern philosophy based out of Indonesia. And the guy in Indonesia suggested that I change my name to Roger. So it was basically not my choice. I didn't take the name Roger.
But you seem to like it. You've been using it since then.
Yeah, it's fine. I've been using it. It's really my middle name legally, but I'm still James McGuinn. And when I go to the doctor's office or something, they call James, and I don't know who they're talking to.
That's got to be weird.
And also James was also the name that the teachers would say when they were scolding me, James.
So then you form the Birds, you guys get together, and of course you hit it right out of the park with Mr. Tambourine Man. Did you record that before or after Bob Dylan did his recording of it, or was it right at the same time?
Well, what happened was Bob recorded it. He did like a 2-4 version of it, and it's about 5 minutes long, too long for radio, and somebody was singing out a tune on it, and so we got the demo. And we learned the song, and then I rearranged it for a more rock and roll, radio-friendly record. I cut it down to 2 minutes and 16 seconds and kicked it up with a Beatle beat instead of the 2-4 time, which was a folky old 2-4 time, you know.
Is it true you're the only bird that actually appears on the recording?
On the band track, yeah. They hired the Wrecking Crew. It's a band of studio guys. And I had been a studio musician in New York prior to the Birds. So, and also, I got the Rickenbacker Electric 12. And I came up with a lick, the intro and the outro. So it was a natural thing that I could get to play on it. But the other guys were just, I mean, the drummer didn't know how to play drums at that point, you know.
But you knew how to play that Rickenbacker, the 12-string. And at that point, you had to be one of the only people that probably knew how to play it.
Well, George Harrison had one, and I thought the movie Hard Day's Night, and that's what got me to get one. And I loved the sound of it. It was really great. It still is. I use it in my concerts, and it's a great sounding instrument.
Do you still have the one from those recording days, or is it a different model?
Unfortunately, two of them got stolen back in the 60s, and they resurfaced. One of them was supposed to be at the Experience Museum in Seattle. And the other, the last time I saw it, was for sale for like $1 million at some guitar store in Las Vegas. But the one I've got, the signature model, they came out with in the late 80s. And it was really a good one. It's got a compression circuit built into it.
Well, as long as it produces the same sound, that's really all that matters.
Yeah, it sounds great. It's really a great sounding guitar.
You did your recording of the Ballad of Easy Rider for the film, and he began writing the theme because he had just seen the screening of the movie, but you finished it. Had you even seen the movie at that point, or did you see it for the first time when it was theatrically released?
Now, Peter showed me a preview of the movie before he got Dylan to write some notes. Dylan just wrote some notes on a paper napkin, you know, like the verse and the chorus, and I came up with a second verse and the tune for it. So, yeah. It was a collaborative effort, but Bob really didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Well, it became yours. You did your version. You did one with the Birds as well. And it's just an awesome track. What are we going to expect at the Ridgefield Playhouse tomorrow night?
Well, what I do is kind of a one-man play. It's historical. I talk about my career, how I got interested in music, how I developed. I went to a school for folk music. I got hired by different people. And then they met the Birds and got the Birds together. So the whole thing is like it's a one-man show.
It's a one-man show. There's no backing band. It's just you?
Yeah, it's just me. It's kind of the form, if you ever saw Pete Seeger perform. When I was a kid, I used to go see Pete Seeger, and he'd be up there with his 12-string guitar. guitar and a six-string guitar and a five-string banjo, you know, different instruments. And you get the audience singing along. And I said, man, that's what I want to do when I grow up. And now I'm 75, so I get to do it.
You grew up.
Yeah.
Roger McGuinn, the Ridgefield Playhouse, tomorrow night, the one-man show. You were certainly close with Tom Petty, who passed away last year. He does a great cover of So You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star on the Pack Up the Plantation live album. Are you doing any Tom Petty on this tour or any stories about him?
Yes, I am. I did a little Tom Petty trip in the Encore part of the show.
That's great. Can't wait to see it tomorrow night, the Ridgefield Playhouse. I just got to say, you're really active in terms of Twitter and social media. It's something you and David Crosby both share, and it's really you doing it. It's you don't have like an assistant doing it or anything.
No, it's really me. I get on Twitter, and David does too. In fact, David does more than I do. He answers everybody who asks him a question. I don't answer everybody, but I answer them. Sometimes, you know, I just like to tell my friends, like, promote Chris Ohman's concerts and David's concerts. And I was on the road with Peter Frampton, and he's a friend. And Sid Griffin in London, got the Cole Porters and Elvis Costello. And any of my friends, I'll just sort of beef up their concerts and, you know, tell people to go to.
You've actually been at the forefront technologically for a long time. You still have the Folk Den Project website, which has been going since 1995. There can't be that many websites that have been in existence for 23 years.
Yeah, probably not. I was an early adapter. I got in there. I knew how to record songs and put them up on the internet for free download. And I haven't missed a month since November of 1995. There are over 270 free MP3s on the Wood.com in the Folk Den section.
Wow. You haven't missed one month.
No, haven't missed a month. If I'm on the road, I'll stop, and if I have to record it in a hotel room or, you know, a phone booth or whatever, I do it. I record it and put it up there.
That's crazy. Roger McGuinn coming to the Ridgefield Playhouse tomorrow night. You get name dropped on the Mamas and the Papas Creek Alley. I don't know about any earlier song that ever did that. I mean, nowadays there's a lot of artists that'll mention other artists in songs, but that had to be one of the first times. Did you know that they were going to do that before you ever heard it?
No, I didn't. I knew John and Michelle Phillips. We all lived in the Village together, and when they went down to St. Thomas, they were playing at Mike's Waterfront Cafe on Creaky Alley. Now it's pronounced Creaky because I know that because I met James Creaky at the New York airport. He was waiting to get on a plane to St. Thomas, and I was going somewhere else. And I mentioned McGuinn and McGuire, and he said, oh, Creaky Alley. And I said, oh, I thought it was Creaky Alley. He said, no, that's my family. My family owned that, and it's Creaky Alley. And we went down there, and we found Creaky Alley. It was really an amazing thing. Nobody knew where it was. It had been 40 years since the song. And so we finally found it on a placard in this little alley. It was called the Royal Caribbean Alley or something now. But anyway, we found it. And so I knew John and Michelle, and they put the song in there. Barry McGuire and I had both gone to California and gotten number one hits. And John and Michelle were still working Mike's Waterfront Cafe in St. Thomas.
And it's Creaky. Well, they never say the name of it in the song. How would I know?
No, I didn't know either. That's why we didn't know. It's just the way it's spelled. It looks like Creek.
Another group that you were involved with was the Rock Bottom Remainders. Is that on indefinite hiatus, or is there any further plans to get back together?
They do get back together every year or so for charity, and it doesn't always coincide with my schedule. I didn't work out this year. They're playing somewhere, and I couldn't make it. I was doing something else. But I do it whenever I have a chance because they're so much fun to hang around with.
It sounds like a good time, and I've never had the opportunity to see it live in person. I've only seen videos, but it always just seems like you guys are always having so much fun.
Yeah, it is fun. It's a lot of fun. And these guys are funny. I mean, Dave Barry alone is a crack-up to be around. You know, he's like that all the time. I mean, he talks in comedy.
Are there any potential for further projects with either David Crosby or Chris Hillman?
Yeah, there's something in the works, but I can't talk about it.
Oh, great. Oh, that's a good tease. Excellent. Roger McGuinn coming to the Ridgefield Playhouse tomorrow night, his one-man show. It's going to be a great time. We can't wait to see it. Thank you for spending a few minutes with me.
Okay, my pleasure.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.